Well, this morning we're going to look at what to do in moments when we're following Jesus and we feel disoriented or isolated or a little bit unsettled, and we're wondering which way do we go? And we're going to listen in on a conversation that Jesus had with his friends who were asking, I think, what is an all-important question. And this morning represents week 7, so the end of our Follow Me series. And we've been talking about what Jesus meant when he invited everyone to follow him. And if you've missed any of those, you're joining in today, you're kind of on, week 7, but you can catch up on the teaching part of the series on the website, and there's also some follow-up material for those that might want to do a little bit more, have more conversations, or a little bit more thinking about Follow Me. Before we jump in this morning, I wanted to kind of do a quick 2-minute recap about what we've sort of said so far about Jesus' invitation to follow me. Everybody, we learned week 1, everybody is invited to follow Jesus, no matter what you've done or haven't done, how many times you've been to church, how much you know about the Bible, or how much you don't know about the Bible. It's an open invitation at whatever stage of life you're at to begin the process of following Jesus. And we also said that, I think in like week 2, that following Jesus, although it might seem that way, it isn't dropping everything at once. It's not like, it's a total cannonball into following Jesus. But as we walk with Jesus, we take new steps. It's a step at a time. And secondly, it's an invitation to a relationship. It's not an invitation to religion. It's not an invitation to a list of things that you do or should do or shouldn't do. It's religion that says change and then you can follow, whereas Jesus' invitation says follow me and you will change. It's also an invitation to a personal relationship with an invisible God who revealed himself through his son Jesus, who was a visible person. So when you hear somebody say that they have a personal relationship with Jesus, they're talking about following Jesus. And the beautiful thing about what we're doing here this morning is church is a group of people following Jesus who are learning to walk in his ways together. Thirdly, we said that being a sinner is actually a prerequisite for following Jesus. So if you're thinking, well, I can't follow Jesus, you don't know what I've done, we discovered that everybody who followed Jesus in the first century was a sinner. And some were the most notorious kinds of sinners. We also said that having doubts is a prerequisite. Even the people that spent the most time, that ate with Jesus, that walked with him every day, they saw his miracles and displays of power, they had doubts right up to the very, very end. So you can, in Jesus' invitation, by accepting his invitation to follow him, you can bring your doubt and some of your unbelief or disbelief along as you begin to follow. We also talked about where Jesus is leading those who accept his invitation to follow. He's leading us to a trust in him that overwhelms our fears. Over and over, we saw that Jesus asked his followers when they were afraid, why they were afraid. And they would answer, in one particular situation, well, the waves are overlapping the sides of the boat. And, that's our response. And when you think that you're going to die, your response is fearful. You are afraid. And Jesus says, yes, I know, but why are you afraid? Your Heavenly Father knows what you need, and he cares about you with a passion. So Jesus is leading us to a place where we can face all kinds of trouble and all kinds of crisis, and we can do so fearlessly. He's leading us to a confidence in God that allows us to overcome our circumstances and not give in to fear. We also looked at the clothing that Jesus' followers wear, right? All Jesus' followers wear, kind of the same thing. Remember this, Chick-fil-A PG. Is that coming back? Everyone remember that? I know people are like, stop talking about Chick-fil-A on a Sunday. Can't do that, right? But compassion, humility, kindness, forgiveness, love, and patience and goodness. And last Sunday, we talked about the cost of following Jesus, right? The fine print, the part where Jesus says, one, at some point our agendas are going to eventually clash with his, but that we don't need to fear those moments where we have to say no to ourselves in order to say yes to Jesus' agenda, because it's in those moments we discover something about ourselves, and we also discover something even more wonderful about our Heavenly Father. It's in those moments that we discover whose we really are, and that the cross is about declaration. It's declaration, not decoration. So there you have it. In about 2 minutes, we just did the whole series, and I know some of you are wondering, you just did a whole 6 weeks in 2 minutes. Why does it take you 35 minutes to cover 1 week? That is a mystery, but come on, because we're going to do it again. So today, we're going to end with what I think is a very important question. And in fact, the younger you are, the more important this question is, because everybody on their journey of following Jesus is at some point going to be tempted, to be challenged, to hit the unfollow button. And before you unfollow Jesus, you need to ask this one question that we're going to see that Jesus has in a conversation with his closest followers. And we're going to look at this story, and if you have your Bible with you or your Bible app, or you can follow along with the scripture references, it's in John chapter 6. And here's a little bit of context for what's happening at the very beginning of John chapter 6. Jesus had just recently performed a miracle using 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes to feed 5,000 people. And they are just amazed and they're overwhelmed and they want to make Jesus king, right? They want to make him king. And Jesus' closest followers, right, the inner circle, we call them the 12 or the apostles, they also would be interested in Jesus proclaiming himself to be king, because their idea was, well, the closer you are to the guy that becomes king is, you know, of great benefit to you as well. But instead of allowing these people to proclaim him king of the Jews, Jesus leaves and he heads to a place off by himself to be away from the crowd who wants to make him king. And his inner circle, the apostles, they get into a boat that evening, and they get in the boat without Jesus, and they start to row across the Sea of Galilee to a place called Capernaum. And you've probably heard this part of the story before. Jesus, in the middle of the night, catches up with them. There's a bit of a storm, and they're rowing hard against the waves, and Jesus actually walks out to them on the water and hops into the boat, and they continue on shore. Now, Matthew and Mark's account of that are way more dramatic than John's is. So I encourage you, go back and look at Matthew and Mark to get the kind of the well-rounded. That's the one where Peter's asked to get out of the boat, if you remember, and he walks on the water for a little bit. But John's is decidedly less dramatic. And so eventually they end up in the town of Capernaum, and there are some people there who were part of the 5,000 that Jesus fed the day before. They show up and word gets out that Jesus is here, and hundreds of people start showing up, crowding into this synagogue, or this kind of place of worship in Capernaum, where Jesus is teaching. And these people begin to sort of nudge or goad Jesus into, you know, doing something special again. They say stuff like, you know that thing that you did yesterday with the food? You know, do that again. Give us a sign that we will believe you, right? Essentially, they just want bread, and they're consumers, and they want another miracle. They want more bread. And Jesus recognizes this, and he decides to use it as a teachable moment, using bread as an analogy. And he says, you know, hey, just like I fed you yesterday with literal bread, but now you're hungry again, did you know that God will provide you with something for your soul and your spirit that will fill you up forever? And of course, they're like, you give us that. That's what we want. And Jesus then begins to compare himself to bread. And he says, I'm the bread of life that comes down from heaven. And somebody in the audience, maybe, you know, kind of maybe in the first row, says, no, you're not. We know your mom and dad, Mary and Joseph, right? You didn't come from heaven. We know your parents, right? Yeah, there's some strange stories about your birth, but we know your parents, and you were born just like the rest of us. So there's this tension that begins to build in the crowd. And Jesus continues talking about how he's living bread, and then his sermon starts to get a little weirder, and it gets a little weirder and weirder. And here's what he says: whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood And at that point, the parents are ushering their kids out of the synagogue. You know, like, what? I can see some of the parents, I thought the synagogue was rated G, right? And they're just all uptight, and they're like, what? What's going on? And Jesus goes on, yeah, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And people are thinking, what? I'm pretty sure that's not how you get eternal life. And Jesus says, and I will raise them up at the last day, for my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Weird. And Jesus continues, and it just gets stranger and stranger, and there's this murmuring in the crowd and this kind of unrest, and people are thinking, this is just weird. Like, he's having a bad day. Like, what's going on here? Meanwhile, the 12 apostles, right, the inner circle, they're thinking, they're listening to the crowd, and they're listening to the murmuring, and they're getting a sense, Jesus, don't lose the crowd. You know, they want to make you king. Don't lose the crowd. But John tells us that on hearing this, on hearing what Jesus was saying, many of the disciples, and by disciples, it's not the 12, right? It's not the inner circle. It's not the apostles. By disciples, John means this larger crowd, this larger group of people that have been following Jesus, like the people that, you know, have been following Jesus for his teaching and for the miracles and for the food, many of whom have been following for a long period of time. On hearing what Jesus is saying, on hearing this message, it's those disciples, they say, this is a hard teaching, right? Who can accept it? Or in other words, who can get their heads around this? Or who can embrace it? Or who can go along with this? Or who wants to be associated with this? And so the crowd is kind of turning a little bit on Jesus. And the 12 apostles, the inner circle, they recognize it. Because they know if you lose the crowd, that's a bad thing. If you lose the crowd, then they lose the momentum of Jesus becoming king. And I can imagine maybe it's at that point that they wanted to stand up and kind of walk out there and put their arm around Jesus and say, ladies and gentlemen, he will be back with you in just a moment. You know, Matthew, why don't you come on out here and tell some tax collector jokes or something like that, right? And they say to Jesus, Jesus, we need to have a conversation here. We need to chat. You're losing the crowd. What's with this eat my flesh and drink my blood stuff? I think I saw someone in the back throw up. I mean, you got to calm down. Just tell them a parable, right? Nobody understands the parables, but they are interesting. Maybe tell the one about the father and the two sons, you know, maybe something from your greatest hits. What about the blessed are? You know, the blessed are, that's a great one. People really love that. But please stop talking about eating your flesh and drinking your blood. We're losing them. And you know, if we lose the crowd, right behind them are the Pharisees and the religious leaders. And you know, they are gunning for you, and they are also gunning for us. And so the crowd is this really great buffer. And if we lose the crowd, we're going to be in trouble. So let's get back out there and lighten the mood. You know, get the crowd back on board. Now, they didn't do any of that, but I'm certain they were probably thinking about it. I know if I was there, I'd probably be thinking that. Maybe you would be thinking it too. And Jesus, aware that his disciples, right, this larger group, were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Does this offend you? Right? Like, does this make you wonder? Is this too much? Does this concern you? And John tells us that this is a hinge moment, a significant hinge moment in Jesus' ministry on earth, because from this time on, many of his disciples, right, the crowd, turned back and no longer followed him. They unfollowed him, right? They hit the unfollow button. You know, they said, you know, we love the miracles, love everything from your first album, but this new stuff is a little bit hard to take, right? Love the excitement. Love the idea that you're going to overthrow Rome, but this whole, you know, you came from heaven and, you know, you're the bread of life and eat my flesh and drink my blood stuff, you know, that's a little too, you know, check, please, like I'm out. It's a little bit too weird for us. And his inner circle, they too, they're listening to Jesus and they're watching the crowd and they're listening to Jesus and they're listening to the crowd and they begin to wonder, like they're looking at their watches like, maybe they're looking around the room going, where are the exits here? You know, maybe just sort of stretch and make their way to the back and maybe find their way out of there. Maybe thinking maybe this is time to slip out too, because this is just getting weird. And Jesus knows right? We've seen that if you read any of the Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Jesus knows what's going on inside the hearts of humanity. And he pauses in the midst of what he's saying in his sermon, and he says directly to the 12, right, his inner circle, you don't want to leave too, do you? You guys aren't thinking of going too, right? You're not going to unfollow too. And certainly these guys knew better than to lie, right? Not because it's wrong, but because they had seen Jesus knew already what people had been thinking, what they were thinking. He had just addressed the very thing that they were thinking about leaving. And they'd seen throughout their time with Jesus that someone would kind of raise their hand with a question, and Jesus would answer it before they asked it. It happened with the religious leaders all the time. So Jesus says, you're not thinking of unfollowing me too, are you? And I think this is such a relevant thing for us, because no matter how long you have or haven't been following Jesus, a day will come, a moment will come, a season will come where you're going to consider unfollowing. And I think it'll most likely become at three times in your life. One of them is a time of transition. You're making a change. And it can be, you know, maybe you're making a change, if you're young, from elementary school to high school. Or maybe it's from high school to college, or from college into the work world, your first job. Maybe that causes you to have to move around, right? The environment that you've grown comfortable with changes. And maybe you go from an environment where you were encouraged in your relationship, you know, as you followed Jesus. And now you're in an environment where they just don't care. It's not that they're against the people around you or against Jesus. It's just they just don't care. You're surrounded by people who don't believe necessarily what you believe. And it's a time of transition. And you're going to be tempted to unfollow. Now, it's interesting is you won't be tempted to unfollow because you don't think it's true. Because the truth is, rarely do people unfollow Jesus because they don't think it's true. It happens, but it's rare. People quit following Jesus or they press the unfollow button because it's too hard or it's inconvenient or it has the potential to leave us isolated and left out, right? And you might be in a place where following Jesus just doesn't seem to matter in this new environment. It seemed to matter when I lived here or when I was at home or I was, you know, part of a church community. But now where I live or kind of where I'm at, it just doesn't seem to matter to the people around. It's not just times of transition. It's also relationships, right? I mean, sometimes following Jesus can get in the way of a relationship, you know, with a person that we really, really like. But they might not share our perspective on Jesus or on following him. And so, you know, we're in that place where we're like, man, he or she is so, and there's a lot of so, right? And we're tempted to say, well, you know, anybody can become a Christian, but not everybody is good looking. And so we're just going to kind of, you know, I know some of you are thinking, did he just say that out loud? Yeah, I know, but we're probably thinking it. You know, it is, you know, you really love him or you love her, and it's like this, you know, Jesus just keeps getting in the way. It's going to cost me this relationship if I follow Jesus. So you know what? I think I'm just going to unfollow. Or it might be not just a transition or a relationship. It might be you're going through a really tough time. And you've prayed and prayed and prayed. And it just doesn't seem as if God hears because nothing seems to be happening. Nothing seems to have changed. And it's frustrating because God seems so silent, and you've always believed and you've obeyed and you thought, you know, if you obey, things are supposed to work out, and they're not working out. And so you're thinking, why am I following? And so when Jesus asked his closest followers that question about unfollowing, it's like Jesus knows your heart. And you might even be here today, or you might be, you know, at home in your living room or watching online, and you're in the midst of this season. And it seems as if Jesus is asking you if you're thinking about unfollowing too. And when I was growing up, I went to church, grew up in a Christian home where that was encouraged, and obviously it was encouraged in, I grew up in youth group and all that stuff. But I kept my relationship with Jesus pretty quiet, mostly because I didn't really understand what it meant to follow Jesus. Beyond, you know, going to heaven. It was, for me, much more like religion than it was a relationship. And I figured that following Jesus would be pretty easy. right? In the kind of bubble that I grew up in. Like, I figured if any of my friends that I went to school with said, you know, tonight we're going to go out and worship some idols, do you want to come with us? I'd be like, no, I can't. I can't do that. I can't go out and worship idols. Or if they said, listen, we think we're going to go and murder someone, you want to come with us? I'd be like, no, definitely I cannot do that. That's on the 10. I cannot do that. I'll see you tomorrow at school. But I think as I've gotten older, I certainly have grown to understand more about what following Jesus means. And I've come to see and I've come to understand that idols are a lot harder to spot than I thought they were. And while murder is definitely still a no-no, just so you know, I recognize Jesus' standard for loving is way, way, way higher than simply not murdering someone. And I've had those moments where I've had to say to people, whether they're friends or neighbors or teammates, I'm sorry, but I can't go there with you. I can't do that, or I can't agree with you on that. I can't follow you on that. And those are definitely unsettling and isolating times. But I've also had moments where I've had to say to other brothers or sisters in Christ, other followers of Jesus, that you know that don't share the same beliefs on certain issues that I do, that I can't go there with them either. And although there certainly is a shared grace, that's also isolating as well. And each of us, at some point, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're going to have moment or moments like that. And maybe you're here this morning and you think, I can't believe he's even talking about that, because it's exactly where I'm at this week. And I think what should encourage us today is that Jesus' inner circle of guys, right, that stuck the closest to Jesus, right, Peter, Andrew, James, John, and the others, they all had a moment right here in this moment where they were thinking about unfollowing because it was going to be too costly. It was too weird. And they're thinking, you know, I could lose my life if I continue following. I could lose what I think life is about if I choose to keep following. So there's this, when Jesus asked that question, are you thinking of unfollowing? There's this pregnant pause where they're thinking about Jesus' question and they're thinking, what do I say? We know we can't lie to Jesus. So what do you say? Yeah, I am considering my other options at this point. And this is a dramatic moment in their lives and in following Jesus. And Peter, who often says, you know, the impulsive thing or the wrong thing, Peter says something brilliant. And he asks what I think is just the most important or the best question. And I hope it sticks with us. I hope we never forget this question. So the next time that we're in a transition and we're overwhelmed maybe with temptation, or it's just too hard to say no, or things aren't going well, and you're tempted to unfollow, I hope you'll come back to this question because it's such a clarifying question. Here's what Peter says in this moment. Lord, to whom shall we go? Jesus says, you don't want to go too, do you? And Peter, if he's being really honest, says, yeah, I really do want to go. But honestly, Jesus, to whom shall I go? Peter recognized something so important, and that's if you choose to not follow Jesus, you choose to follow something or someone else, because we all follow something. And so Peter asks this great question, if not you, who? If not this, what? Peter recognized that if I back away from you, Jesus, I'm actually backing towards something or someone else. If I choose to say no to you, Jesus, that I'm actually saying yes to something or someone else. And Peter's saying, I've just done a quick internal evaluation of my options. And no, Jesus, this isn't comfortable. And yes, Jesus, I do want to leave. And no, I'm not sure, you know, how it's going to turn out if I stay. And yes, I wish it wasn't as uncomfortable as this. But the truth is, to whom shall I go? And I think that's the issue for us, because it's hard to follow Jesus sometimes. It's hard to go what is sometimes feels like against every current in the river. It's inconvenient to follow Jesus sometimes. Sometimes it's isolating. Other times, you know, your faith just might be treated by others as completely irrelevant. But there's something in you. At some point, you'll come to it where you want to walk away. And Peter would say to us, before you do, you need to consider the options. When you unfollow Jesus, you're immediately following someone or something else, and you need to think about that before you simply walk away. To whom shall we go? And then you get a chance here in this conversation to listen to Peter's thought process as he thinks out loud about this journey that he's been on of following Jesus that brought him to this conclusion. He says, "You have the words of eternal life." Jesus, no one else is talking about that. No one else is offering that. I remember when I was fishing with my dad and my friends, and you invited us to follow you to something that turned out to be way grander. And to be honest, hard to understand. But since then, my life has grown more and more purposeful. It has grown in to have way more purpose than it ever had before. I felt as though I was invited to this story of God. Where am I going to go? Jesus, you've given me the opportunity to live for something, and I'd rather die for something than live for nothing. You invited us to something that's so much bigger. In fact, I'd rather follow you and die for you than just die. Sure, this isn't going the way I envisioned it. I thought by now you'd be king, but leave and follow who? You have the words of eternal life. And as we here gather this morning, wherever you are in terms of following Jesus or your interest in following Jesus, you have been, by Jesus' own words, to come follow me, been invited into something grand that's way better than your worst day and way more satisfying than your best day. As a follower of Jesus, you've been invited into this narrative that is infinitely more fulfilling than anything or anyone else can write for you. You've been invited to follow the Savior of the world. So is there anything else that you can think of that when you look back, you would say, I am so glad I quit following Jesus for fill in the blank, right? The hard reality is that if you unfollow Jesus, it's a step down. And here's what Peter had come to believe as he looked upon his journey with Jesus. And it's what I've come to believe, and many of us here believe. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. The Holy One of God. In other words, we've seen too much. We've experienced too much. If we leave you now, you know what? We'll be back in a month. If we leave now, and if we live to be old men, we will wish we could come back to this moment and choose not to unfollow. So why would we go to anyone or anywhere else? Right? To whom shall we go? And I love this question. I think it's a question that will allow us to avoid seasons in our lives that we wish we could go back and relive and do over. It's a question that will allow us to avoid unnecessary regret. It's the question that if we can just kind of slow our roll long enough to ask in those moments of transition or temptation or trials that, you know, they just want to take us out, if we can just ask, okay, if not Jesus, then who? And before you take that step, you owe it to yourselves to answer that question. If not Jesus, then who? Is there anyone or anything else offering you something of eternal consequence? Let's say this together. To whom shall I go? That was terrible. Say it one more time. To whom shall I go? Right? Here's the truth. Transition, you know, temptations, trouble, they're always going to, you know, garner questions from within us. And that's okay. Questions are great. I love questions, right? There are lots of really, really smart people asking questions, maybe asking you questions about Jesus or your belief. And the thing is, while they're certainly maybe smarter than you, it doesn't mean that they're wiser than you, right? And if you choose to unfollow Jesus because of something that you heard on a podcast or in a lecture hall, and if you don't first consider, well, who are you going to follow? You're making a really silly, a really foolish decision. It's always in times of transition and temptation and trouble that we'll have questions like, where is God? Why would God allow this to happen? Why did God, you know, do that? Or why didn't God do that? Why didn't God come through for me? right? There are always questions. But it's a mistake, I believe, to take a step away from Jesus simply because we have questions, or are there questions that we don't have answers to? Because just because you don't have an answer to the question doesn't mean that there isn't an answer. It just means you don't know it yet, right? I love the fact that the first part of the word question is quest, right? Which means a journey. It's a journey of discovery. And our journey following Jesus is a relationship with Jesus that we're not taking on our own or in isolation, right? People could be saying, Peter, if you stick with Jesus, what's going to happen? Peter would probably say, I don't know. It's probably not going to be that great, right? Considering what's, you know, the leaders or the religious leaders are gunning for him. And they would say, well, isn't that a reason to walk away? Peter would say in this instance, no. Peter, what's going to happen if you continue to follow Jesus and you lose the crowd? Peter would say, I don't know. Well, isn't that good enough reason to walk away? Peter would say, no. Well, don't you don't have an answer to that question, you know? Isn't that a big question? And Peter would say, well, yeah, I don't have an answer, but that doesn't mean there isn't an answer at some point. I mean, I looked at it this way. Les and I have been married for 29 years, right? Just checking. And we spend so much time together, right? And I think, if we're honest, we both have more questions now about each other than we did before. And I think that's the nature of a relationship. You know, some questions, you know, get answered and others arise, right? At the back, we have these little question cards like this, and I apologize for the microscopic print. We'll figure that one out. But we want people to ask questions, and if you have a question about something you've heard today or something you've heard over the last couple of weeks or just something you're pondering, they're always anonymous. You can just write your question down. I will never pull out your question and go, oh, so-and-so said this. Unless you want to talk about it, then there's a little part at the bottom you can check and say, yeah, please contact me, and here's my information. But fill out a question. If you've got a question, we'll do our best. I will do my best at some point during teaching or on a Sunday morning or somehow. We'll take a time where we can address some of these great questions. So don't be afraid to ask a question. That's why Peter's question, I think, is so important because it brings clarity. It's a clarifying question. So if not Jesus, then who? Well, I don't know. I haven't really thought that far ahead yet. Well, then don't make a move until you can answer that important question, to whom shall I go? And you will be so grateful if you don't walk away from Jesus, because he has the words of eternal life. And in the following of him, you're learning and you're gaining confidence that he is the Holy One of God. Everything else, everyone else that you could choose to follow, it's going to be temporary. Everyone and everything you could turn to follow, it's not going to last. As we said at the very beginning of the series, salvation is free. It will cost you nothing. Jesus paid our debts, paid our debt. And following Jesus will eventually cost you something, but refusing to follow Jesus or unfollowing Jesus could cost you everything. To whom shall you go? And remember, when you're tempted in that moment to say, maybe this is the time to unfollow, ask that question, to whom shall I go? Because it was Jesus that promised, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that these words have been kept for us so that we can understand you more, so that we can understand people just like us who accepted your invitation, who had questions. I thank you that, Lord, Peter was inspired to ask the question and John was inspired to write it down, and that we can read it. And Lord, I just want to, Lord, for each person here, and I think of students that are at a place in their life where they're making transitions or they're going from one school to another or from one grade to another or from one institution to another. And I want to think of, Lord, I want to remember before you those adults who are making a change in vocation, or they're just going through a season of change, a season of struggle. And they're crying out, saying, God, where are you? And they are being tempted to just walk the other way. Lord, I pray that when they ask that, would you just give them the clarity in that moment to ask that question, to whom shall I go? That in that moment would give each of us, when we're in those moments, that to pause to be able to consider that you have the words of life, that you are the Holy One of God, and that we would see as we peel away the layers of, or we push through the fog of our unsettling or isolating circumstances, Lord, that we would see you. We would see the cross that would lead us to a God who loves us, who gave his son for us so that we could be adopted. And in that moment of decision, that dramatic moment of which way am I going to go, we would ask ourselves, well, where else would I go? I trust that Jesus is the words of life, that he is the Holy One of God. And in that moment, Lord, you would just, through your Holy Spirit, you would bring us a peace and an overwhelming sense of your presence where you're leading us to have confidence in you in that decision-making moment. Lord, I thank you that we get to do this as family, as brothers and sisters, and that we're all at varying places of vulnerability in what we're experiencing. Lord, continue to draw us closer to you and to closer to one another so that we can walk with one another and we can listen. We can ask questions. We can be silent when silence is called for. And we can just walk with one another. We can help one another. We can walk towards you. Thank you for Nashville Road and for the beauty of who you've created this body to be and how you're growing us in you. Lord, help us to dig down deeper than maybe we've ever gone before as we ask that question to whom shall I go? Because I want to follow you. I want to accept that invitation. We thank you. And Lord, as we do each week, we ask these things, Lord, that we've laid out before you. We ask them in the name of Jesus, who is our mediator, who is our Savior, our reconciler. And we ask them in his name. Amen.